Well, I'm going to Chutzart and I'm going to...
The one that I usually use is a very good one, but it's already 5 years old and I've been using it. I had wanted to do some readings in Divrei Hayamim, but that may have to wait for next week. I know that Sarah has been waiting now week after week after week for readings from Divrei Hayamim, but that will be done because it's going to blow your mind. Just to read three chapters in Divrei Hayamim, it will... even starting with Yotet, Chaf, Chaf Aleph, Chaf Bet, it will blow your mind. But right now, I just have this love of we're coming to a story here in the Navi that you will find out soon. I want to do it today because that's going to you'll see. Watch. We were up to Perek Yud. The fact is that we were in the middle of Perek Yud. In Perek Yud, Yehu had caused it that the elders of Shomron should kill the 70 sons of Achav, and put their heads in drums and send them to him. What Yehu really wanted to accomplish was that he would turn the elders of Shomron into even worse rebels than he was. Pasuk 8 in chapter Yud. Vayavo hamalach vayagedlo. The messenger came and told him, Heviu rashei b'nei hamelach. They brought the heads of the sons of the king. Vayomer. So he said, Simu utam shnei tziburin petach ashar adboker. Put them in two piles at the opening of the gate, the door of the gate until morning. Chapter Yud, Pasuk 9, Tet. Vayehi baboker. Came to pass in the morning, Vayetze, Vayamu, Vayomer El Kalhan, he got up and he went out, and he said to all of the people, Tzadikim Atem, you think that you are righteous in your eyes. Rashi says, Kulchem Beinechem Tzadikim, in your eyes, you're all righteous. Umachazikim Oti, Techezkat Hashai, and me, you consider a Rasha. Hine Aniko Sharti El Adoni, Vaharageu, I rebelled against my master, and I, the king, and I killed him. Umihi kad kol ele, but who smote all of these? Who killed these 70? The ueipo. No, therefore. Ki lo yipo midvar Hashem ha'arzo. Not one word that God has said will fall to the ground unfulfilled. Asher diber Hashem al beit Achav, that God had spoken about the house of Achav. Hashem osat asher diber. God has done exactly what he said, biyad avdo Eliyahu. That which he had said through his servant Eliyahu has all been accomplished. And Yehu smote all of those who remained from the house of Achav in Israel, v'chol gedolav, all of the great people, u'miyudaav, and friends of the family, v'kohanav, and those who served the family of Achav, abilti hishilo, so we're talking about an absolute total massacre of all of the house of Achav. Abilti hishilo, so it means nothing. No one remained. Nothing. Total. We had learned this also. He got up and he came and he went to Shomron, and he stopped at a place called Beit Eked Haroim. Sort of, I have a feeling it was sort of a rest stop for shepherds, Howard Johnson's on the way to Shomron. V'yehu matzot achech as yom melech Yehuda. Now I know why I'm reading this. Yehu matzat achayach hazyo melech Yehuda. Yehu found the brothers of Ahazyo, the king of Yehuda, Vayom, and he said, Miatem, who are you, Vayom? And they said, achayach hazyo, anachnu, we are the brothers of Ahazyo. They don't know that Yehu has killed Ahazyo. Vaneded l'shlom b'nei ha-melech u'b'nei ha-gvira. We've gone down, we're on our way to Israel from Yerushalayim. Whenever you go any place from Yerushalayim, it's going down. We went down to see how the king, the family of the king, and the family of the queen, Vayomer, you see the words over here, Marsha? Tifsun Chayim. grab them alive. This was an extremely important and significant ingredient in yesterday's Chumash. So that's why I pointed that out. The important thing being that the word tifsun means something that is either not in your hands or that's slipping out of your hands, and you're holding on, grabbing on for dear life. Bayami said tifsun chayim, grab them alive by yitpsun chayim, and they grab them alive by yishchatum, slaughter them all. El bor beit eked. There was a pit in beit eked. Arboim shnaimish, 42 people. Below Hishir Ishmehem. Not a single one was left, remained from there.
Was there any special reason they should take them alive rather than just kill them on the spot?
Good question. The fact is, obviously, the Radak was troubled by this question. And the Radak says the following. No, good, good. Shelo yimitum derech milchama. What Yehu wanted is that they should not be put to death in battle. He wants them taken alive so that he can execute them. Talk me up. Vayelech misham. He went from there. Yehu. Vayimtzet Yehonatan ben Rechav likrato. And he meets Yehonatan ben Rechav coming toward him. Vayivarcheyu, and he blessed him. We're going to see who Yehonatan ben Rechav was. He was one of the Gedolei Yisrael at the time, and he was a descendant of the house of Yisrael. And Yitro. I always get confused. I'm telling you, it's a terrible thing to live in these two with the Ashkenazi Sephardic world. I feel it. Yonadav ben Rechav, and he and his family are going to appear a number of times in Tanakh. He met Yehonadav ben Rechav coming toward him. Vayivarcheihu, and he blessed him. Vayomer elav, and he said to him, Hayesh et levav ko yashar kasher levavi im levavecha. This is Yehu saying, is your heart as straight with me as my heart is with you? Vayomer Yehonadav, yesh vayesh. Yes, yes, he's saying, yes, my heart is with you all the way.
There, yes, yes means this way and that.
No, that's not what he means here. That's what it means in Hebrew?
Something like
that. No. Oh, yeah, I hear. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So you know what it depends on? It depends on the niggin. If you say it, yes, vayesh, yes, vayesh, that's what he says. He's with him. Tnos yodecho. Give me your hand. Yehu is saying to him, give me your hand. He wants to bring Yehonadav ben Rechav onto the chariot. He gave him his hand. Vayalehu elav el ha-merkava, and he brought him up to him on, into the chariot. Yes? There's no question about it. There's a lot of symbolism over here. The symbolism... It represents the idea that you're going to share, in some way you're going to either share leadership with me or I'm going to share ideas with you. You are on a level equal to me. That's what it always means. Vayomer, l'choyti ure'ei v'kinati l'Hashem. This is Yehu speaking. He says, come with me and you're going to see how I am going to act with jealous, well, the English word jealousy is not good.
Zealous.
That's good. By Pinchas. Exactly. The kan'o et kinat Hashem. I'm going to act zealous for God. By Yarkivu oto bidichbo, and they took Yehonadav ben Rechav in his chariot. By Yavo Shamron. He came to Shamron by Yachet Kol Anishorim La'achob Shamron Adish Midoni, and he smote all of those who remained to the house of Achob in Shamron until he destroyed him. Kidvar Hashem Hashem Diber El Eliyahu. There's been as was the word of God to Eliyahu. Yes, there's been a lot of killing, and if you think that this is the sum total of the killing in Divrei Hayamim, you'll find out things that were awesome and frightening. I don't know yet how we will deal with it. Beginning with Pasuk Yudchet. And there's something about this pasuk, the story that comes now, because I don't remember when this, our hope for Tanakh started. 5 years ago. It was one of the first shiurim that I gave. I think I may even have the tape someplace. And I learned this story. Because the story that is to come now, I learned that at the beginning of our study of Tanakh, because one of the great keys to understanding Tanakh is right here in this story. And if we don't fully realize the impact of this story, our view of Tanakh, I believe, is going to be a distorted one. So that this is not just some story all over here. This is a story of great import. And let me read the story. Vayikvotz Yehu et kol ha'am. Yehu gathers the entire people together. Vayomer aleihem, and he says to them, do you hear the opening statement? This is his opening statement, and most probably it became bumper stickers on all of the chariots. Achav ovav et habal ma'at achav served Baal little. Yehu ya'avdenu harbe. Yehu was going to serve Baal in a big way. Do you understand? This is the man who has been saying time and time again that he is fulfilling the words of God through Eliyahu. And he tells Yehonadav ben Rechav that God will be Yisrael. He tells him, watch and you will see my zealousness for God. So obviously this is it's a ruse. It's a ploy. It's a trick. He wants to leave the people with the impression that Baal worship is now going to go into high gear and the great worshipper of Baal is Yehu. Watch, I want you to see the import, the impact, and the power of each pasuk here. Vato. Now, this is what the king is notifying all of the people. I can imagine riders coming into towns, villages, and hamlets. Hear ye, so says King Yehu. Achav ovat et habal miat, Yehu yavdenu harvi. Vato now. Kol nevi'i Baal, all of the prophets of Baal. Kol ovdov, all of those who serve Baal. V'chol kohanav, and all of the priests, Kir'u Eli, call them unto me. The king wants all of them to join him. Ish al yipakeh, no man shall be missing. In other words, this is the kind of invitation you can't refuse. It's not an RSVP down at the bottom. You've got to come. Ish al yipakeh, no man shall be missing. Ki zevach gadol lilabal, because I'm going to make a great feast to Baal. And in order to make it quite clear how dangerous it might be not coming, showing up, Kol Ashei Paked, whoever is going to be missing, Lo Yechiyah. I mean, can you imagine? This is an invitation, a proposal you can't refuse. Kol Ashei Paked, anybody who's going to be missing, Lo Yechiyah shall not live. Now the pasuk lets us in on this, that V'yehu also ba'atwa. Yehu had done all of this with trickery. Yaakov, Vayakveni ze pa'amayim, he dealt with trickery. Leman, and his purpose was Leman ha'avid et ovdei ha'baal, in order to destroy the worshippers of Baal. This is his plan, this is his ploy, this is the way he's going to do it. And the word Leman, I once said a shiur on Leman, that Leman means this is the ultimate goal, the only objective. There may be other objectives along the way, but the end of the line is he is going to destroy, eradicate all Baal worship in Israel. Vayomer Yehu. Yehu said to his people, Kadeshu atzara, prepare a gathering. Kadeshu always means lahazmin. No, hininu mitkabim lahazminchem lavo lehishtakeh. To prepare a gathering, labal for Baal, vayikro, and his people, called the gathering. Vayishlach Yehu b'chol Yisrael. Now he's sending messages again b'chol Yisrael throughout all of Israel. And do you know what happened? Vayavo kol ovdei ha'Baal. All of the worshippers of Baal came. V'lo nishar ish asher lo ba. In order to make certain that you understand clearly that all means all and not most, all of the worshippers of Baal came, not a single one remained who did not come. Vayavo Beit HaBaal, and they came into the house of Baal, Vayimale Beit HaBaal, Pe'el HaPeh. and the house of Baal was full. They were hanging from the rafters. SRO, standing room only. I'm going to let you in now on what it is that I'm looking for. And I see already you remember. What's terribly important over here is to know how big is the Beit HaBaal. Because if we know how big the Beit HaBaal is, we're going to know the sum total of worshippers, priests, servants of Baal in the peak period of Baal worship in Israel, the days of Ahav and Izebel. We know them all. The Beit HaBaal could have been Yankee Stadium. It could have been Stadion Teddy, Bloomfield. I'll tell you the truth, it could have been a steeple. For that matter, it might have been the size of this room, or maybe half the size of this room. Now, what we're going to have to do is see, is there any clue how big the Beit HaBaal is? The Beit HaBaal is full pelapet. Watch this. This is fascinating. He said to the person who was in charge of the Meltacha. Meltacha is a wardrobe. He says to the person who was in charge of the Meltacha, Hotzei Levush, take out garments. The people who served Baal wore special garments. Lahavdila, a Jew puts on a talis when he davens. Or the Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, wore big day kahuna. He said to the person who was in charge of the Meltacha, Hotzei Levush, bring out the clothing. L'chol Avdei HaBaal, for all of the servants of Baal. V'yotzei Lehem HaMalbush. And he brought out the clothing. Let me tell you the following. I'll let you in over here on the next step what's going on. Yehu is going to destroy all of these people. He's going to destroy them all. You know what he's afraid of? Yehu is afraid that the Jewish press has gotten one of its reporters inside in order to come out with an exclusive scoop on what went on in the house of Baal. I mean, for all I know, Ayala Hassan has made her way into the Beit HaBaal. Yehu wants to make certain that whoever is in there is a real Baal worshipper. He doesn't want anybody in there, a curiosity seeker, somebody who wants to report on it. So he has to make sure that they're all Baal worshippers. So he assumes if the Jewish press got one of their reporters to infiltrate, one thing will stop him. If he has to put on the accursed garments of Baal, that he won't do. So he says, bring out the garments. Yehu and Yehonadab ben Rechav came to the house of Baal. Look at the next step that he takes. He's standing now in the house of Baal, and he says to the servants of Baal, Chapsu ura'u. Search, look around and see. Pen yesh po imachem me'avdi Hashem. Lest Baal forbid, there may be a worshipper of God over here. Look around. We don't want any of those frummy wummies over here. Just make sure. And by the way, this already should start giving you an indication. They know one another. The Ovdei HaBaal know one another. If they don't know one another, I mean, look around. I mean, how do I know whether this fellow is an Ovdei Hashem or an Ovdei HaBaal? I mean, there are hundreds of thousands of Ovdei HaBaal in Israel, it would seem. What do you mean, look around? Look around. But the purpose, of course, is he doesn't want a single solitary blessed Ovdei Hashem, servant of God, in that room. Ki im Ovdei HaBaal Levadam. We only Ovdei HaBaal are permitted in here. Yudin Raus. We don't want any Ovdei Hashem over here. Vayavou la'asot zvachim va'olat. Now comes the real test. It may be that somebody slipped in here and Tak is not known. It may also be that the reporter from the Jerusalem, from the Jewish press, got a heter based on his local rabbi that he can put on the fashlug and the garments of Baal. But then he comes to make Zvachim Va'olat. Now, Zvachim Va'olat already is to bring sacrifices. This is Avodah Zarah of the worst order, for which the punishment is death according to Torah. No Oved Hashem would ever do that. Here is the punchline. Yehu places outside the Beit HaBaal Shmonim Ish, 80 men, Vayomer, and he instructs these 80 men, Ha'ish Hashem Malek Min Ha'anashim, Asher Ani Mevi Ayedechem. If a man flees, escapes from the people that I brought into your hands, Nafsho Tachat Nafsho. If you let somebody slip out, it's your life for his life.
He leaked the secret.
No. He hasn't leaked any secrets. Leaking didn't start until the establishment of the State of Israel. The point is so powerful. How many people could have been in the Beit HaBaal? Is it Yankee Stadium and there are 150,000 people there and he puts 80 people outside and he tells them, if one escapes, you die. You know what? You know how many there really are in there? 80 people. And if you tell me that the 80 soldiers that he's put outside are powerful guys and they can take down two people, then there are 160. Do you understand? This is the sum total of Ovdei HaBaal, Kohane HaBaal, Shomrei HaBaal, Haredi Baals, Dati Leumi Baals, in the peak period of Baal worship in all of Israel. No. Don't attempt in any way to take away from the impact of what's said over here. Who was killing the four? Who killed Ovdei HaBaal? All we know is Eliyahu killed 400 priests. We know that 70 children of Ahab were killed. Izebel was killed. I'm asking you one question. On the basis of this story over here, was Baal a mass movement? No. So there are 40 people. What do you mean 40 exits? Huh?
There's probably more than two.
So I don't know, so what are you telling me? How many people? So tell me some total. How many people were in the building? 2,000. And you as a commander in chief would tell 80 soldiers out there, if anyone escapes, it's your life or his life. No, don't wait a minute. No, these people. No. These 80 people. Why can't we read Psukim and read them clearly? Do you know what this means? What this means is that we have to understand all of Tanakh. Listen. I'm going to make my point, and I'm going to prove it from a number of other places, and it's quite clear that this is going to give us the means to look at all of Tanakh. When we learn through Shoftim, and you learn through Shmuel, and you learn through Malachim, do you know what impression you're left with? That throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, there are people, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, who are serving Baal and Ashtaros and the god of Ammon and the god of Moab and the god of Midian. And yes, Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu talk about Tachat Kol Eitz Ranan Baal Kol Givah, on every hill and under every tree, there is idol worship. You go through Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, and you would imagine that wherever you turn in Eretz Yisrael is a pagan and a heathen society. And therefore you look at us and we say, what are you talking about? I never worshipped idols. We are so much better. We are so much better than they were. So I'm telling you that view of Tanakh, and what I'm saying, by the way, is there are those who question it. There are those who say, yes, there are Mefarshim who hold that it was a terribly pagan and a heathen society. And I'm telling you, no, yet, Loimet HaKais and Aleph, here is one of the classic proofs. What it means, therefore, is, so what's the relation getting so upset? What's going on when you learn Shoftim, it seems the body of a shofet was not yet dead. And Vayasu Hara Beinei Hashem, the people are already doing that which is evil in the eyes of God. By the way, this we've pointed out a number of times in the past. It always said they did that which was evil in the eyes of God. Why doesn't it simply say they did evil? If we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael that is simply filthy with the stench of idol worship, so Vayas, Tanso Divcha. The whole story of Tanakh is that God wants a model people, an exceptional people, a perfect people, a complete people, a people that would not tolerate any idol worshippers in their midst. That's what the Rebbeinu wants. Especially when we're talking about an Eretz Yisrael in which one is able to sense the presence of the divine. Do you understand? The Shekhinah in the time of Bayit Rishon, in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, you felt the Shekhinah, the divine presence was in Eretz Yisrael. For example, I'll give you a number of examples of the divine presence in Eretz Yisrael. 3 times a year, every male was supposed to go to Yerushalayim, Aliyah L'Regel. They went. Vayisham says in Torah, you don't have to worry about your land, I'll take care of it. And the Gemara, Masechta Pesachim, says that as a Jew would say goodbye to his family, he's on his way up to Yerushalayim. Wild animals from I don't know where would come and surround the houses. You understand? There's a miracle that took place, an awesome miracle that took place 3 times a year. Every male goes to Yerushalayim. Eretz Yisrael is unprotected, undefended. Homes are open, and nobody's afraid. 3 times a year, they all go. There are 2 parshiyot in Torah, Parshiyot Tazriya and Metzora, that talk about discoloration in garments, in houses. Now we're not talking about retivut. We're talking about a person is going to get up in the morning and he's going to take a look at the wall of his house and there's some kind of a nega. There is a blemish in the house. You didn't call a repairman. You called in the Kohen. And Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi in the Kusri explains, what was this all like? What was the idea that, you know, a house would discolor and this was a sign from God? A garment would change color. So he says that this happened in Eretz Yisrael only during the period of Bayit Rishon when the divine presence was in Eretz Yisrael. And you know what would happen if a person, for example, would speak Lashon Hara, or he'd become a Baal Machlokes, or would be conceited or full of pride? The divine presence simply removed itself from his house. So he gives the great example. His muscle is a person at night is outdoors in the dark and is frightened by something. So sort of, you feel the air, you know, the air goes out, you turn white. He says when the divine presence lifted itself and removed itself from a person's home, it's like the neshama went out of him. And he changed colors. Do you understand? There were miracles. There were nisim v'niflos that Jews saw. In that kind of a milieu, in that kind of a society, where you were able to sense, you were able to touch the divine. There shouldn't have been 80 idolaters. What the nation wants is a perfect people. And this is the classic story that proves it all. Don't give me stories about hundreds of thousands of Jews worshipping idols. Don't try and tell me that ancient Israel was just another pagan Rome or a pagan Greece. It's never so. It was never so. 99% of Jews were shomrei Torah mitzvahs. How many Jews were living in Israel at the time? 5 million, 4 million, 5 million.
Now?
Huh?
Like now?
Like now. Maybe 6. I don't know, I just made it up. There's
it sounds like a lot.
Sounds like a lot? What do you mean, why does it sound like a lot? 3 million came into Eretz Yisrael. 3 million came in with Yahushua. Most probably there were many more. You're supposed to be Kikoch Ve'ashamayim. Kachol Asher Al Sfasayam. Maybe we're 10 million, maybe we're 15 million. Maybe we only think in such small terms only because the Jewish people has been cut down over the last 2,000 years. And the only reason why I'm thinking of it also is because we do know historically the only place where we do have information is the period of Bayit Sheni, the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. So scholars, and I don't think they're lying over here, there were 7 million Jews in the world. I mean, that was already after the destruction. By the way, all of a sudden, I'm going to be changing my mind. How do you like this? I'm changing my mind in mid-sentence. There were 7 million Jews in the world in the time of Bayit Sheni. Now, wait a minute. Do you know we have to take into consideration? 10 of the tribes had already been lost 200-300 years earlier. You know what we're talking about? What's 2 tribes to 10 tribes? What is it?
One fifth.
All right? The number that were put to death by Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan and Sancherev, king of Asher, we're talking about, they were Sancherev, king of Asher, we're going to read about him soon. We're going to come to Sancherev. Made a churban in Eretz Yisrael. I changed my mind. There were 20, 30 million Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And the more Jews there are, the less significant the 80 or the 160 that were in this building. One thing is certain. The service of Baal or Ashtaros or all the rest was never more than a fringe. But even that should not have been by Klal Yisrael. Yesterday in the Chumash, we learned an Akedat Yitzchak that brought to the fore a pasuk that I also used when we started learning Yehoshua. The great pasuk, which I think it's the Vilna Gaon who says that this is the approach to the understanding of Tanakh. How the Nevi'im speak is as God speaks. We said it yesterday. In chapter 7 of Yehoshua, let's see if they know how to. Chapter 7 of Yehoshua, Bela, what's Pasuk 11? Chapter 7, the second battle that Jews are going to. The first battle was Yericho, and the walls of Yericho came tumbling down. Tell me out. So I'll tell you the story. Yehoshua is preparing for the second battle after Yericho. So he sends spies. The spies spy out Yericho and they come back and they say, listen, you don't need all of Klal Yisrael there. Send 2,000-3,000 men and they're going to be cake, mush. Take care of them. The 3,000 go up against the city of Ai. And they're defeated. Jews flee from the battleground. And then it says terrible things, how Yehoshua tears his garments, he prostrates himself before God, he says unbelievable things. In chapter 7 in Yehoshua, Pasuk 6, Vayikra Yehoshua, Silos of Yehoshua, tore his garments, Vayipol al Panavarza, he fell on his face to the ground, Lifnei Aron Hashem al Erev, before the Ark of God until evening, Hu Vizikna Yisrael, he and the elders of Israel, Vayalu Ofar al Roshem, they put earth on their head. Vayom Yehoshua, Yehoshua said, do you hear the words of Yehoshua? Aha Hashem al Kim Vey de Beishman, Lama He Avarta, Hey Avarta Avidat Amazet Hayadim, why did you take these people across the Yarden? To give us into the hands of the Amori. You brought us here to destroy us. I mean, do you hear the horror of what Yeshua is saying? And even worse, the Luho Alnu, if only we would have wanted the nation of Be'er Ayadim, we should have remained Be'er Ayadim, should never have come here. Be Hashem, please God, Mohomar, what shall I say? Now that Israel has turned the back of its neck before its enemies. We have been vanquished. And you know what's happening now? The myth of the unconquerable Israeli has been shattered. V'yishmu haknani. The knani will hear v'chol yoshvei haaretz and all of the inhabitants of the land. V'nosabu aleinu. They will surround us. V'hichritu et shemeinu min haaretz. They're going to destroy our names from beneath the face of this, from the earth. U'matasah. L'shimcha HaGadol, and God, what are you going to do with your great name? Your great name is going to live throughout history only because of Klal Yisrael. No Klal Yisrael, it's all over. Vayomer Hashem and Yehoshua, the Rebbein Shem said to Yehoshua, Kom lach, come on, give me a break, get up. Lama zatan ofel al panecha. What are you falling on your face for? Here comes the great pasuk. This pasuk You have to read it over and over again in order to understand how Tanakh was written, how God speaks. What are the words of the Nevi'im? This is the pasuk. This is the Rebbeinu Shlom. God is speaking to Yoshua and he says, Chata Yisrael, Israel has sinned. The Gam Avru et Briti, they have also transgressed my covenant. Asher Tziyit, the old time that I commanded them. The Gam Lotchum and Achedem, they took from that which was prohibited in Yericho. The Gam Gamvu, they stole. The Gam Kichashu, and they lied. The Gam Sohu Bechlehem, and they have placed amongst their personal possessions that which doesn't belong to them. Have you ever heard from God Almighty Himself an indictment of all of Israel? And only one person stole. We're going to find out a few psukim later. Baham ben Karmi ben Zavdi, one person. How does the Rebbeinu say something like this? All of Israel, they all stole. They broke my covenant. They lied. Because that's the way the Rebbeinu speaks, and that's the way a Navi speaks. When you want to impress an idea on people, and this is the Gro, the Vilna Gaon says this in Mishlei, when you want to impress something on people, you look at the sin with a magnifying glass. You have to present the sin through a magnifying glass. What are you going to come? You're going to come and tell somebody, you know what you did. So first of all, there's a machlekes rishonim. It's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raivad. According to the Rambam, what you did was a mitzvah. According to the Raivad, it's an avera. According to others, it's a sfek sfeke. Maybe it is an avera, maybe it is an avera. That's not the way you give somebody Muslim. You know, you give somebody Muslim. What an awful, horrible, terrible sin you have committed. That's the way you give Muslim. That's the way the Nevi'im spoke. In what context did we say it yesterday? So for the benefit of everybody except Marsha, and it's for Marsha's benefit also, so we'll counsel it off. One of the questions that we asked in the Chumash yesterday, and this is a question that is dealt with by many of the Mepharshim, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the Luchos, Vayar, he saw as a egel umecholot, he saw the egel and the dancing around it. Vayichar, Moshe got angry and he threw down the luchot. So the Mepharshim asked, didn't God tell him what was taking place? What all of a sudden changes when he comes to the camp? The Medrash even says that the Mepharshim tells him, you didn't believe me when I told you at the top of the mountain? I told you! So what is it that overwhelms Moshe as he comes toward the camp? There are many, many answers. So I quoted an Akedat Yitzchak. The Akedat Yitzchak gives two answers. One answer, which is most probably I have a feeling it's the one that he's most in favor of, is there is no comparison between only hearing something and seeing. When you come face to face and you see the ugliness of Egel, you're overwhelmed. You hear, it's one thing. The example that I gave, you know, you can hear and you can read about the tragedy of the helicopters. It doesn't compare to one Levaya you go to. Even the pictures are not enough. One Levaya. You go to one Levaya and all of a sudden it just hits you in all of its intensity. Moshe Rabbeinu up at the mountain, he heard. When he comes down from the mountain, he sees and he gets out. There is another, the first pshat that the Akedat Yitzchak said was the following. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that the Jews had done something bad. He didn't really assume that it was something so bad that Mamish made themselves an egel. You know what he thought? He thought they had done something wrong, and the Rebbeinu uses the metaphor of Egel to describe everything. It's not a good thing, not a good thing, but it's not so terrible, the way the Rebbeinu says it. Why? Because he knows that the Rebbeinu speaks that way. And what pasuk does the Akedat Yitzchak quote? Chata Yisrael v'gam avru es b'nisi asher tzivisi osam. Gam gamvu, gam kichashu, gam somu b'chleya. So he says, listen, it was only one person. So Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that it's bad, but we'll be able to handle it. It's a problem. You know, what a problem. What a leader's for. Leaders are supposed to deal with problems, so come down from the mountain and deal with the problem. But when he sees what's really happening, then he understands that up at the top of the mountain, Ribbono Shel Olam had spared him the full impact, because many of the Mefarshim say, Ribbono told him only that they had made an egel, but God didn't tell him that they were dancing around him. And there's a number of the other, if I'm going into the whole share already, and some of the Mefarshim say that, Seferno says it, the Al-Sheikh says it, but I'm coming to the answering your question, Vasha, and wait till you get that. They say that if somebody does an Aveira and they regret it afterwards, there's hope that you're going to be able to rehabilitate that person. But if they do an Aveira and they're dancing and they're full of joy, Moshe Rabbeinu sees this, then he knows this people will not be rehabilitated, he's going to have to start all over again. So I had said, off the cuff, and Marsha, of course, takes me very seriously, as she should. I had said off the cuff, why didn't the Rebbeinu tell Moshe Rabbeinu at the top of the mountain that they're dancing around the ego? So I said, I think I said two things. Number one, did the Rebbeinu have to speak more Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael? Bad enough he has to tell Moshe as a leader. In other words, it's like in the laws of Lashon Hara. You're asking information about a shidduch. So you can't lie about a shidduch. But you don't have to go overboard in saying how terrible the perspective kala or chasen is. You don't have to describe all of the ugliness. In other words, at a certain point, you're supposed to say the truth, but you have to watch yourself. There is a line. There is a line that you pass at which it's no longer important. In other words, if you've told the family that the chasen is a god, you can be sure there won't be a shidduch. You don't have to go further to say, not only is there chasen aganer, he mainlines, he streamlines, he's a drug addict, he's a socher samim. You don't have to, once you've passed a certain line, then it becomes pure lashon hara. The Rebbeinu has to tell Moshe, they made an egel. It's a fact, they made an egel. Rebbeinu, if he's to tell Moshe now, not only did they make an egel, but they're dancing around it. That serves no purpose. Moshe Rabbeinu will see it for himself. I don't have to tell him that. That's lashon hara. In addition, I think I said, dayo l'tzara b'shata. It's enough for a tzara to come at its time. God doesn't have to pain Moshe unnecessarily at this point more than he is already pained. So Moshe asked about this pasuk over here. Isn't this pasuk one big lashon hara about Klal Yisrael? So I want to tell you, as you asked me the question when I walked in and you accosted me, I remembered a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Yehoshua turned to God and he said, "Who done it?" The Rebbeinu just now accused Israel of sinning and stealing and lying. So Yehoshua turns to the Rebbeinu and says, "Who?" The Rebbeinu turns to Moshe, and the great answer he says is, "V'chi dilatur anochi? Am I dilatur?" Is Aramaic for a lashon hara. V'chi dilatur anochi? Am I a dilatur? For the Rebbeinu, you know what it means. Yehoshua here asks the Rebbeinu, "Who is it? Who did the aveva?" And the Rebbeinu's answer is, "V'chi dilatur anochi? Am I a..." Am I standing the Sakhar Lashon Hara? So you can ask, and what about everything that the Rebbeinu said about Klal Yisrael? He talks about everybody. Which is proof exactly to what I'm saying. When the Rebbeinu says specifically, this is the fellow who did it, that's Lashon Hara. But when he's talking about all of Klal Yisrael, now, in a sense, when you spread it thin over everybody, what he really means to say is that there's a problem in Klal Yisrael that has to be dealt with. In other words, we have to understand the pasuk. It's written one way, but it means something else. It certainly does not mean that all of Israel have sinned. That's the whole point. The point is, and this is what the Balak HaDeh Yitzchak was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu knows how the Rebbeinu speaks. We have to know how Nevi'im speak. For example, I can take you through 100 psukim in Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, where the pasuk is going to say, blood is flowing in the streets of Yerushalayim, You have the impression that Jews are just killing Jews. And they do not love one another. I mean, I can pull out Sukkim like... Do you see how... No, none of that. The two don't fit together with one another. In other words, when you say that there's blood flowing in the streets of Yerushalayim, give me a little Avera. Just give me a little Avera. Huh? And somebody said Lashon Hara. And somebody said Lashon Hara. In other words, it's so incongruous. You can't accuse somebody. Reuven. He's a murderer. And he stole a paper clip from his office. I can tell you, I can show you hundreds of psukim in Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel where the real biggies are side by side with small, seemingly, comparatively inconsequential psukim, avedas. Because the big ones have to be understood as a metaphor. A Yirmiyahu can stand on Rechov Ben Yehuda on the mid-Rechov and talk about blood flowing in the streets of Yerushalayim, and you know what he's referring to? He's referring to Lashon Hara, that's what he means. When he talks about Jew eating up, destroying and consuming fellow Jew in the streets of Yerushalayim, he means the media. You really think that in Yerushalayim people were going around and killing one another? The worst that Yirmiyahu could have meant, and that was bad, Yirmiyahu could have been standing up and talking about people like Meshugoyim, who have to pass up the car ahead of them and endanger who knows how many lives every day in the streets of Yerushalayim. And he can talk about blood flowing in the streets of Yerushalayim, and he's talking about prevention of traffic accidents. You have to understand how to read the Nevi'im, otherwise you go crazy. And you think that this city was a city of such awesome evil, it was frightening to live here.
When you talk Lashon Hara, on public figures.
When you talk Lashon Hara about public figures. So first of all, are you admitted to? That's so vast an issue. Can you talk Lashon Hara about public figures? Can you say Bibi Yechalek at Yerushalayim? Can you say that Derry sold Chevron down the drain for Baron? If I'll find a pasuk someplace over here where I can hang it on, I will do it, but it's so complex a question, very complex. Let's see, if I find during the course of time how to deal with it, I will deal with it.
Wait,
got to go in order. There has to be order. Yes, go ahead, you're next.
When the tribe was in Yemen, it was almost completely annihilated.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't hear what she said.
She said the following. Toward the end of Shoftim, there's the story of the tribes of Israel who went against Binyamin, and they nearly annihilated a complete tribe, leaving over 400 people. So you have to remember, do you know why they did that? Because for the first time in Jewish history, there had been a gang rape. And do you know how a gang rape was dealt with by all of Israel? The horror! We can read about it every day in the papers. And it is something so distant from us. So distant. What happened over there by a gang rape, an entire country, men, women, children, stood up to wipe out something of this sort. It should never happen again. To understand how awesome the response of Klal Yisrael was. What will ever get people to stand up in that manner? That was a demonstration of the greatness of the Jewish people. Even if it means to destroy a tribe, we will not tolerate such evil in our midst. That's really what happened there. That was an awesome demonstration of how Klal Yisrael came down on the side of morality. So there, you have to see, they received the permission of the Urim the Tumim they received God's permission, and Pinchas was the Kohen Gadol, and remember, Pinchas was the one who struck down Zimri and Cosby. You know, sometimes, you know what we don't realize? We always put off, we delay strong reaction until the point where it's already too late. Like Har Choma. If this government would have taken a step after the first bus bombing 3 years ago, no negotiation, we're not talking again to you. How many times should the government have said, this is the way you deal with us? ICE. You have one more than the 9,000 police you're supposed to have. You have 50,000 soldiers now. ICE, there's no deal. And when the stand is finally going to be taken, today most probably, or in the coming days, it's going to be too late. Klal Yisrael in the days of Pilegesh Begiba, first moment in history where an act of such immorality took place, and all of Klal Yisrael stood up. That was action. That was the way you deal with it. You don't wait until it's nothing more than a statistic, so now you're going to get upset. So, last week, 18 people were killed in traffic accidents. 1,068 were injured, some 110 or 120 seriously. We're Meshugoyim. So yes, it looks bloody, but the question of course is, what impact will it have? I'm certain that the story of Pilegesh Begiva made certain that something of that sort, to our knowledge, never happened again in the period of Bayit Rishon. And clear that when you read the words of the Nevi'im, you have to know how to read them. Because if we're going to read them literally, then we are looking at a people that are so ugly. I don't even know why the Rebbeim sent Nevi'im to them. I don't know why the Divine Presence didn't simply disappear from here at the beginning of Bayit Rishon and run. And God keeps coming back and back again. Because essentially, the Jewish people were an exceptional and outstanding people. And for that exceptional and outstanding people to have tolerated 80 or 160 or 300 or 400 Ovdei Abal, and to have permitted Ovdei Abal to become part of the ruling class, is something that simply was intolerable. And that's what the Nevi'im are talking about. Yes. So I'll tell you, before Klal Yisrael crosses the Jordan, Parashat Nitzavim and Vayelech, there is what's called the Brit Arvot Moav. There was a covenant made at Sinai, and then there's the covenant of Arvot Moav on the plains of Moab. The Brit Arvot Moav, in all of its details, was really a repetition of the Brit Sinai, the covenant at Sinai. What did Moshe do in Sefer Devarim? It was he reviewed all of Torah. There was only one new ingredient that was added. The new ingredient, according to the halacha, you see it in the psukim there, if you read the psukim in Nitzavim carefully. Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu v'haniglos lanu ulevoneinu ad olam. Hanistaros, he means sins that are done in concealment. The one who has to take care of that is Hashem Elokeinu. V'haniglos, but those sins that are done publicly that we know of, Lanu ulevoneinu ad olam, it's our responsibility and the responsibility of our children forever, says the Gemara. The covenant of Arvot Moav was the covenant of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. We are all responsible for one another. Ad shelo avru et hayarden, the Gemara says, before they crossed the Yarden, nobody was responsible for the sin of a fellow Jew. When they crossed the Yarden, they become one people to the extent that, yes, if a Jew in a lot is going to do an Aveda, the Jew in Dun is responsible. We are all one single unit. And therefore the Rebbeinu Shel now tells them, by the first Aveda that's been committed when they cross the Yarden, Chota Yisrael, it's your responsibility. I want you to know once and for all, you're not single individuals. You are all one people, inextricably intertwined, interrelated. And therefore, if there's a sin that's committed by one Jew, it's going to filter down to all Jews. And it's not, therefore, only the Goyim who say that if one Jew is a dirty Jew, all Jews are dirty Jews. La'abdul the Rebbeinu was saying that you're all responsible for one another. And if there are Jews who do mitzvahs, so b'schus one tzaddik in a generation, b'schus noshim tzidkaniyos, they went out of Mitzrayim, schus avos, bris avos. Of course it works both ways. But you know what we have to know? I have to know what not what my is not of God, what thy zechuyot are. Ask from God, what are thy chovot? I think that's what God would have said in the spirit of JFK. In other words, it's not a matter of what schusim I have on my side. The question is, what are my responsibilities? And my responsibilities are that not to permit sin by Klal Yisrael. Yes?
The problem with the downgraded language could be that Avos Zarim could be at least a picture that you have in the rest of the world. If they take it literally, they cannot.
I can't deal with that problem at all. I don't even know how to begin to deal with that problem. The only thing that you should bench Goyim for is that you're here today and you're learning the real Pshat and Tanakh. I think you should go jumping for joy that you know how really to learn Tanakh. We're not responsible. Shaitim Shabbailam, the fools, whatever they're going to say, this is not our responsibility. We have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, but what do we do about the
Shaitim Bene? I'm learning Tanakh. I'm not the Jerusalem Post. What do you want from me? Because I use examples occasionally from real life, but that's not this year. The purpose of this year is to give you the key to an understanding of all of the Nevi'im. You have to understand what they speak of. When they speak of murder, take a look. What are you going to do with the Gemara? The Gemara and the Bali Tesis seriously entertained the idea that a person should rather give his life than embarrass a fellow Jew publicly. Where do they learn it from? When Tamar is being taken out to be burned at the stake. So she doesn't say, Yehudah, you're the one, what nerve? You're the great Yoreh Tamishpati, you're putting me to death. You're the one who did it. She will not do that. She says, Hakerna, recognize to whom does this signet ring belong, to whom does this staff belong? Says the Gemara in Seita Daf Yudam Adbeis, Mutav Bere Sheyatu Asmo L'Tav Kishin HaEsh, a person should throw himself into a furnace, Val Yalvin Pnei Chavedo Berabim, and he shouldn't embarrass a fellow Jew publicly. Do you understand? And Tesis even says, you know, there should be not three things for which you're supposed to give your life, Gilead, Ayazav, Ejazor, and Shvichas, Domin, but also embarrassing somebody publicly. There is no people on the face of earth, of this earth, that has a law that comes, or a thought that even comes close to this. The beauty and the intensity and the power of Torah. A Yirmiyo, when he sees Jews embarrassing others publicly in the streets of Yerushalayim, could very well have used the metaphor of there's blood flowing in the streets. And the fact is that we even use it, just read the statements being made by all sorts of politicians. One politician says something against another politician. Somebody has said something against him. I've seen it in the Bible. Who's shofechet dami? He's spilling my blood. What do you mean he's spilling my blood? Don't you touch the hair on your head. But to speak ill of somebody is shofechet dami. I mean, there's so many things that the Nevi'im, if one was not careful in one's relationship with a Yosem or an Almana or a Ger, you didn't say the right thing to a Ger. I tell you, the truth is, you want to know something? I'm coming to the conclusion that you have to watch how you speak to everybody. Yesterday, it was 2 days ago, I'm walking home with somebody from Shul. He says, I don't know if I ever told you, Rabbi, I'm a ger. You could have picked me up on the floor on Agassi Street. You? I can't believe it. You don't know who the closest ger is. You have to watch how you speak to a get. You have to watch how you speak to...
No, just the opposite. If you don't know who's a get, maybe he'll feel...
No. The truth is you have to watch how you speak to everybody. You have to watch how you speak to everybody. So a Yirmiyahu could very well... Not could very well. I'm saying that that's exactly what he had in mind. Yerushalayim had not turned into a battleground where Jews were killing Jews. There weren't any underground, not underground, what do you call it? The Chisulim, what's going on over there in the Tel Aviv area? The underworld rubouts. It was not like that. Klal Yisrael was a holy people, but had not achieved perfection. That's what the Nevi'im are talking about. There was a great deal that was left to be desired. And that's ultimately what's going to happen. So the point of this year is the key to an understanding of all of Tanakh. There is blessed exaggeration in the words of the Nevi'im, and they have to be understood that way, because that's the way you're supposed to say things. But we should never get the picture as though we're great people compared to those ancient Jews back in the Middle Ages, or back at the time of the First Temple. Jews that were, wherever it was on the Avodah Zarah, you found Jews bowing down over there. Not true! Sheker v'chozer! That's not the story of Tanakh. It's not the story of Tanakh. I love this. This Yehu story has... Well, let me at least, just a few minutes. Let's just finish the story. I'll let you ask. You go first. No, you're not feeling well. I want to... Yeah. All right.
Over exaggeration, psychologically, it's effective.
I knew that you were going to say that. So that's why you need somebody to teach you how to understand
it. If the parent starts telling off the child, like if the child puts a cookie by himself, and you start saying, oh, yeah, the terrible thing that you did.
Well, if a parent does something like that, if the parent thinks that he's Yeshayahu, then he needs help. That's right. The Nevi'im have to speak in. They have a. Just as poets have their language, Wahavdil, poets have their language, writers of prose have their language, playwrights have their language. There's a language of Tanakh. All you need is a Rebbe who's teaching you. And you have one. You have to know how to read the words of the Nevi'im. Anyway, it says, when he finished making the Olah, said to the runners and to the officers, Bo, Hakum, smite them, Isha Yetzai, no man shall go out here, Vayakum, Picharab. And he smote them by the sword, Vayashlichu, Harotzim, Vayashlichu, in other words, as you hit each guy, you dump them on the side. Vayelchu ad Ir Beit Habal, they went all the way to Ir Beit Habal, Vayotziot Matzvot Beit Habal, Vayisrifu. In other words, now that there are no servants of Baal left, they can destroy. Now they had to go someplace to find a Baal altar. Vayotziot Matzvot Beit Habal, Vayisrifu, Vayitzuot Matzvot Habal, Vayitzuot Beit Habal, Vayisimehu Lemotzaot Ad Hayom. You know, it seems like there was one statue of Baal, there was one house of Baal, and they destroyed it, and they made it for Motzaot. Motzaot means excretions. What does
it
mean? A privy. They made it a toilet. I didn't think of that. Vayash made Yehu et HaBaal Yisrael. What a simple, straightforward passage. Yehu destroyed Baal from Yisrael. And like he did it, presto! 1, 2, 3. Only the sins of Yerovam ben Nevat, who had caused Israel to sin. This is an extremely important part of next week in Yetzir Hashem. Lo sor yeyu me'achareim. Yeyu did not turn away from them. Egle hazog, the golden calves. Excuse me. God, I think this is my first sneeze on tape. Those that were in Beit El, which are taught. By the way, this is also an indication to us how, in comparison to real idolatry, the argolim that Yerovam had placed in Beit El and in Dan were a far cry from real idolatry. If that really would have been idolatry, it would not have been written in the way it was. In other words, he destroyed all of Baal. The only thing, no. Mela, the only thing that still remained was the Egle HaZohar. To be continued. Wait, you know what? I'll tell you what. Wait. Just let me read one more passage to prove what I'm saying. Vayomer Hashem el Yehu. God said to Yehu, Yam Hashem hei tivon so lasot ha-yosho be'inai, kecho Hashem bilvavi. Right? Since you have done all that is good in my eyes, right? So God is going to make promises to him. We're going to see about the promises, and we're going to see the fall of Yehu. But it seems even though he had not destroyed the golden calves of Yerovam HaNevot, the Rosh Hashanah still is giving him a Yashikayach. Which gives us a picture of what that was. That was like, to be continued in the session.
Don't have to have a wonderful baby boy. Just right away he fell in the same mud.
All right. So we'll have to talk about that. That's coming attractions. What happened to Yehu?